The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with our Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. My friend Ray Allen is on the other side of the glass. It's always so good to see Ray engineering and producing the show. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. We're winding down February already, aren't we? Tuesday, February 27th, 2018, coming to you from Tucson's Voice. We're at AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening. That means if you're around a computer, put in buckmastershow.com. You're getting the live stream of the program, and of course, kvoi.com. We have a very full hour, and if you'd like to join us at any time during the hour, our live line number is 790-2040. There are six candidates that are on the Democratic side in the Congressional District 2 race. We've interviewed five of the six here on the Buckmaster Show, but now we welcome Barbara Cherry. Barbara was, I think, probably the last to join in the race. Barbara, how are you?
I'm very good, Bill, and thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show today. And you are right, I was the last of the last.
Well, you're in the race now, and you're from Pennsylvania. You came out here. You were in the banking business. You're on over 70 acres of ranch land down in McNeil, Arizona, which is, for folks that don't know, that's down in Cochise County, about 15 miles north of the border. Was there any particular incident that really triggered you to say, I've got to get into this?
There was, and it was the morning after Charlottesville when I could not any longer sit by and not do something, because there becomes a time in everyone's life when the path is very clear for you. And you have to be a person to be a voice. And when our president could no longer give us comfort, we needed a hugger-in-chief that day, and we didn't get one. And I just thought, I can't do this anymore. I can't sit idly by. So I thought, well, here's my third retirement coming from the ranch. Now I'm going to become a politician, and that was the day that it happened.
And you've been learning about being a politician. You took part in that. Our friend Dylan Smith was hosting TucsonSentinel.com, hosted I believe, very well-attended event, all six candidates down in the Green Valley area, and you were on stage there. What do you think separates you from the other candidates, Barbara?
Well, the big separation is, from all the other candidates, is that I'm not a politician. I've never been a politician. I never, up to this point, wanted to be a politician. So there's the big separation. There are other political things that we're very separate in. I'm a very progressive Democrat, and I believe in Medicare for All and other things.
Single payer?
Yes, single payer. Absolutely.
Too much military. I noticed in one of the reports from the the coverage of the debate, you are very much against expanding any Davis-Monthan Air Force Base.
I am. I was approached by a Democrat who runs a small group who lives near the base, and he said he had not heard back from anyone, and I was the first person to even give them a reply about expanding Davis-Monthan. And I did some research, because my history, being in the financial world, financial analyst, that's what I do. Question, analyze, research. I got back to him, and the information on military jets flying through neighborhoods is very distressing in a health factor. The small particles that are given off through the exhaust will actually give you emphysema or lung diseases.
So you're saying enough is enough right now?
I'm saying enough is enough. I personally drive down Kolb and I get infuriated by the amount of planes that are parked there. Personally, I think we need to have a big old garage sale and get rid of a lot of them.
Well, let me ask you about another issue. You're the candidate living closest to the border. On the other side, we've had a candidate just last week on the Republican side in CD2 who said, as far as these Dreamers are concerned, he would send every one of them back to Mexico.
That is just so distressing. In so many non-humane ways. These children, who are now young adults for the most part, have spent their life in America. And it is so awful for them because they're not legal. They can't even file for citizenship. Can you imagine having to live your life almost underground and waiting for a knock on the door? These are so many wonderful, warm people. I hope that something sooner than later happens to allow them to have a path to citizenship.
Have you had border crossers come through the ranch?
You know, that was a question that was asked at the debate the other day, and I will tell you this. I've never seen one. I've never heard one. And personally, if I had, and I said this at the debate, I would have cooked them dinner and given them water and bid them Godspeed. I don't know when we in this country have lost so much humanity. It's quite upsetting.
We're speaking with Barbara Cherry. She is one of six Democrats who hope to win the Democratic primary in late August in CD2. Barbara, the whole process of you have to gather signatures to even get on the ballot, how are you handling that? Is this pretty much a 24/7 job for you right now?
This is my new job. This is every day my new job. I have people that help me. Most of the time, though, it's just me visiting farmers markets, fairs, just calling on neighbors and friends and whoever I can to sign the form, because we don't have a caucus state here. You have to go out and you have to get signatures. So it is a very daunting task. It really is. It doesn't seem like much, but it is quite daunting.
Where can people find out more about you?
Well, they can go to my website, which is Barbara Cherry, S-H-E-R-R-Y, the word for, F-O-R, Barbara Cherry for Congress.com. And on there, there's a button you can push, takes you right to the Secretary of State's website. Follow the directions. It's easy as it can be. Takes you right there. You put in your driver's license number, and a list of candidates will come up. You pick my name, Barbara Cherry, and it will tell you whether or not you are in CD2. Because a lot of people don't even know what district they're in. But anyway, if you're okay, then you just fill out the rest of the form online, hit the submit button, and you're good to go. And you have signed my petition.
One of the other issues that came up during the debate, of course, is firearms.
Yes.
That was an issue. Mm-hmm. Give us your opinion on that, please.
Well, I am all for raising the age that you can attain these weapons. However, that's, to me, is just a stopgap measure. The weapons themselves, automatic weapons, should be banned except for the military and except for the police. They do not belong out there in America. So raising the age, that's a start. I believe that we have to fortify, which I never thought I would say this, our schools, our school doors that are not bulletproof. And I am absolutely 100% opposed to having any teachers have weaponry in schools.
But you would go along with metal detectors on every school?
Oh, absolutely.
Every school in America?
Absolutely. We need single entrance, single exit metal detectors.
Kind of like at the airport.
Kind of like at the airport, exactly. But they cost a lot of money.
All right, Barbara Cherry, nice meeting you. And folks, can I go to your website? Give us the website again.
Website again is Barbara, B-A-R-B-A-R-A, Cherry, S-H-E-R-R-Y, the word for, congress.com.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. I sure appreciate it.
One of our fine sponsors, Barbara, is Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, and it's a great weekend getaway. It's only, it's actually pretty close to where you live. You've got a head start to Silver City down there in your neck of the woods. It's about 3 hours from Tucson. We send so many of our listeners over to Silver City. It's a great weekend. Explore historic Silver City. Just relax in a lovely environment. For more information, a great starting place is southwestnewmexico.org, spelled out. For the complete list of the great places to stay and the many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It is now 12:15, Tuesday edition, Buckmaster Show. Shelley Fishman, our certified financial planner, is up next. Thank you. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday, we'll have a newsmaker interview with the Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction, Diane Douglas. Also, we talk with State Representative Todd Clodfelter. We'll get a legislative update during the noon hour on Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI. Worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
All right, let's welcome now Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. And Shelley is up at an investor seminar up in Phoenix, and he's on our live line. Hey, Shelley.
Hi, Bill. How are you today? The weather up here is gorgeous, and the roller coaster keeps going.
Yeah, it really does. Are we up or down today?
Oh, we're down today about half as much so far today, down as we went up yesterday.
Really,
the volatility has returned. And to some extent, that makes people feel uneasy about their investments. But we've been kind of forward three steps and back two. So as long as that continues, the world is good.
Well, you had said, Shelley, a couple of weeks ago that this is nothing to really get upset about. This is something, the roller coaster is going to be here for a while.
Yeah, the last year in 2017, we had one of the lowest rates of the volatility pretty much in the history of the markets. And so the return of volatility is not particularly upsetting unless you kind of got used to the calm.
Yeah. Shelley, did you read that AP story about the five things to watch for as the new Fed chair meets with Congress?
I did. I think it's an important story because it kind of summed things up very nicely. And, of course, if you had any opportunity or if any of the listeners had an opportunity this morning to listen to some of the testimony, it was predictably partisan in ways that are unsurprising. But what Martin Kretzinger, who is the AP economics writer, was talking about is really, there are five general areas that the new Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, is going to need to talk about and be ready to address during this testimony. And the first is what we've already started addressing on this segment, and that's market turbulence. And the question is going to be, with the rise in the markets over the past 16, 17 months, is this a bubble? Is this something that we have to worry about bursting? Is it based on market fundamentals, or in his opinion, is it based on something that's less durable? So that's a piece of testimony that we should be listening for. The next is economic growth, and economic growth has really been an area that we see very little unanimity on when it comes to who you talk to or who's talking to you. The administration would like to think that market or economic growth is going to get into the 3% range. We've even heard the president, I believe, talk about 4% market growth. Well, that's not unheard of in the post-World War II era, but it's certainly unheard of as we take a look at the era of the last 30 or 35 years. The Fed has not backed off its forecast of about 1.8%. We've seen about 2% over the last year or two. So when we look at economic growth and the tax income to the government that results from that growth, that becomes kind of linked closely to the whole idea of deficits and what the tax reform is going to result in and what we can expect in the way potentially of inflation if you believe that deficits will, in the long term, cause inflation.
And the inflation, which is one of the five important points of that article, it's point number three. But, you know, it's at the top of the list for a lot of people right now. What's going to happen with inflation?
Clearly, if inflation goes up, then that rate is going to cut into corporate profits, and that could have a negative effect, or at least a slowing effect, on the rise in equity markets, and also will have an effect on the bond market as well. And just, you know, because we needed somebody to spook us a little bit, what we had in January was inflation at the fastest rate in 8 years. That said, it was just 1 month, so we really don't know what went on there. We have to take a look at what happens this month and the next month to see if the inflation rate gets at or near the rate that the Fed would like to see it at, which is about 2%. And we should also keep in mind that inflation is not just an American phenomenon, that our trading partners also have to worry about it. And we've seen some indications that, at least in Europe, inflation is also something that they're looking at very carefully and are somewhat worried about.
And Chairman Powell is looking very much at the budget deficits and how that's going to play out, Shelley Fishman.
Well, sure. The Fed's only weapon is interest rates. That's pretty much all they can do. They've figured out how to do some other things with what amounts to printing money, but their chief weapon to achieve their goals of full employment, which is where we are right now, and the 2% inflation rate is interest rates. So when they take a look at what they're forecasting as a $7.1 trillion in new deficits over the next decade, they have to evaluate whether or not that is going to be inflationary on its face, or whether it will create kind of a rolling snowball that says budget deficits make money more expensive. Money more expensive makes it harder and harder for us to retire debt and replace it with new debt without increasing the interest rates that we pay on that debt. That has a result of higher inflation, which has a result of more deficits, and that snowballs and snowballs. So if you take the politics out of that, understanding what the Fed chairman believes to be the impetus for rolling that snowball down the hill faster or slowing it up, those are, I think, what are things that we really need to listen for in his testimony.
How political is the Fed chairman, Shelley Fishman?
On its face, he's not political at all, but we haven't seen its face in a very, very long time. The Fed chair is not supposed to be political, but he is an appointment. He's an appointment by the President of the United States, and as a result, he's got a new boss. In the past, this guy, by the way, is not an economist. He's a banker.
Huh. And he
has been a supporter of Dodd-Frank. He's been a supporter of the kind of, excuse me, but a dump truck just dumped its whole load behind me here.
We didn't hear that, luckily.
Oh, my gosh. But he has been a supporter of the kinds of regulations that were intended to stabilize the markets and keep 2008 from happening again. However, he is now has a new nominal boss in the president and the administration. And so the question is going to be how he lends his support or opposition to the modifications in Dodd-Frank and other regulations that, he will be asked to opine about as a policy emerges and evolves and gets developed over the next couple of years. So his agenda is going to be initially, we think, the same as the prior Fed chief, Janet Yellen's agenda, But as he comes under some pressures, and as he is, as you know, we all are somewhat loyal to those who put us there, we'll see how he articulates somewhat, you know, some changes in his position. And that's another thing to listen for in this testimony today. And so if you can find sources of that testimony without going back to hours and hours of the original source, if you can find people who are willing to talk about that in a kind of non-judgmental way, there are going to be clues in his testimony to all five of these issues. And that's going to, I think, set part of the agenda for where markets are going to be going as they try to evaluate how the Fed will either stay the course or change their course over the next year or two.
All right, Shelley Fishman, have a safe drive back from the capital city. Have a great week, Shelley. Thank you for your support.
Thank you, Bill. You too.
All right.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, with our worldwide live listening. That means if you're around a computer, just plug in buckmastershow.com. You'll get what we call the live stream. And of course, KVOI, our home station, KVOI.com, has all of our programming throughout the day and night on the live stream. Since 1980, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona, known as CFSA, has partnered with our donors and distributed more than $160 million to regional nonprofits and educational institutions. The grant programs are designed to create and support a stronger nonprofit sector. We welcome now to the Buckmaster Show. Sandra Nathan is with us. Sandra is the Senior Vice President of Philanthropic Services and Community Investments for the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Sandra, good to see you.
Well, good to see you too, Bill. I'm delighted to be back here with you.
You know, a lot of people don't really, perhaps have not heard of the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. How would you characterize the mission of the CFSA?
Well, the mission of CFSA is to connect donors to causes that they care about, Bill. And we are one of 720 community foundations within the country.
I didn't know there were that many.
Yes, there are 720 community foundations. The first community foundation was established in Cleveland, Ohio, a little over 100 years ago. And
the idea obviously caught on.
Yes, it did.
And what makes it so attractive? What makes it so attractive to communities?
Well, what makes community foundations set apart from other charitable organizations is that we are all about community. Community foundations are entities that understand the needs of the community, are actively involved within the community, have boards of trustees who are representatives of the community and are deeply engaged in the issues that that the community cares about. And that is the value of what we have to offer as a community foundation.
How does it work as far as the categories of these grants to organizations? They generally fall into a couple of different categories?
Yes. Yeah, so the majority of the funds that we distribute are through the generous contributions of our donors. Last year, we gave away over, over $7 million in grants due to the generous contributions of our donors. They determine the causes that they wish to grant to, and we ensure that as a community foundation, we are good stewards of those resources, and we provide feedback to our donors on how those organizations are faring with regard to the support that they receive and making sure that the money is being used for its intended purposes.
So a donor would come to you and say, I have X amount of money, Sandra, and I want it to go to generally this type of organization. You pick up the ball from there.
Right? Yes.
Okay.
We educate donors on the types of nonprofits that meet their interest areas, and we are completely responsive to the donors with regard to where they want to give. So, for example, Bill, I know you've been a tremendous champion of the Community Foundation's involvement in animal welfare.
You got it. In fact, there's a big event coming up in April.
And I hope, April, exactly.
As we get closer, I hope we can do a program about that. But no, I have been a big supporter of animal foundation
groups. And so if we have a donor who walks through our door and has just a true passion for the welfare of animals.
Like I do.
Mm-hmm. We have a number of nonprofits from the Humane Society to other organizations that we can recommend grants to.
And you have some of these initiatives, and I'd like to touch on a few of them, Sandra. The Alliance Fund, the African American Initiative, and the Santa Cruz Community Foundation. Those are a few of these initiatives. How does that work?
Yes. Yeah, so the community, this is another wonderful example of how the Community Foundation is responsive to the needs and interests of the community. I want to just highlight the Alliance Fund as a wonderful example. The Alliance Fund has been in existence for over, I think it's close to 20 years now. Mm-hmm. And it was it evolved out of a national foundation's interest in partnering with community foundations to leverage their national money and create an interest in local giving for LGBTQ causes. So the Alliance Fund here in Tucson, Arizona, is one of the oldest LGBTQ philanthropic mechanisms that we have had in the entire country. So they have been raising money, they've been providing grants to nonprofits within Tucson and the region, specifically focused on meeting the needs of those individuals who are part of the LGBTQ community.
How about the African American Initiative? Can you outline that briefly?
Yes. So the African American Initiative is another example of the Community Foundation's interest and response to fostering philanthropy within the African American community. And similar to the Alliance Fund, the African American Initiative raises money annually and provides grants to nonprofits who are predominantly led by and serving the African American community, as well as those individuals who are from the African diaspora.
What happens next? Are you kind of, what is the strategy? Are you going forth with pretty much what you've been doing, or do you have some new ideas?
Well, when I was hired at the Community Foundation a little over a year and a half ago, it's hard to believe it's been
already
a year
settled
and
in
half.
Very well, haven't you?
I have.
Year
I
and
love,
a half. You're just like an old timer and a native right now.
I am indeed, and I love Tucson. It's a
you
city.
Really have settled in well here, haven't you?
I have. Yeah. I have. It's and Tucson's a very easy city to settle into.
Very welcoming community.
It is indeed.
So what's next?
So what's next for the Community Foundation is I was brought in to really bring the Community Foundation more into alignment with best practices in philanthropy. So one of the major trends that has been in existence throughout the country is looking at how foundations can be more effective partners to nonprofit organizations, how we can get beyond funding specific programs and supporting the mission of those organizations by giving grants that provide support for their core operating expenses. Core operating expenses can be anything from salaries to infrastructure, purchases of new technology.
That really makes sense. So it's not just opening the door. Mm-hmm. Once the door is open, it's then carrying through with the mission. Did I get that correct?
Exactly. Yeah. You got it exactly right. Yeah, it's aligning with organizations and saying, we support your mission. We care about the issues that you are addressing within the community. We value your leadership. We value your governance. We value your reach within the community. And we want to acknowledge that by providing you with unrestricted dollars.
So it's not just like, here's your check to get going. This is really, I think the word that comes up is this is the real follow through.
This is the real follow through. And it's not that this is money without accountability. I don't want to give the impression that we're just writing checks. In fact, what we are doing is moving beyond that transactional relationship where we are simply writing a check to an organization. And we're saying we want a relationship with you as an organization. Without the viable nonprofit sector to carry out the wishes of our donors and the issues that the Community Foundation care about, we can't be effective within our community. So it's very, very much a partnership.
And you are moving forward with your new facility, which is really going to be a great place for all nonprofits to come together and meet. And that's how is that coming, the new campus?
Well, it's evolving tremendously well. We are in the process now of demolition, construction. It's not a new building, but we are remodeling an existing facility that was formerly
there. Repurposing.
Repurposing, exactly. I like that term.
Where is that going to be? Where is it?
It is at 5445 Broadway.
Okay.
And
so you'll be in there hopefully this fall.
We will be in this fall, and we will be opening our doors to nonprofits and providing nonprofits with capacity building and space where they can have offices and come and make this a vibrant focal point for the nonprofit sector in Southern Arizona.
Congratulations on the work you're doing, Sandra Nathan.
Thank you.
And what is your website? Where should folks go for more information about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona?
www.cfsaz.org.
Sandra Nathan, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
We'll be right back.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back, Buckmaster Show, brought to you by Green Things, our fine sponsor over at Green Things, Jan and Jack, 3384 East River Road on 13 acres, pretty much every imaginable plant you could ask for, they're going to have over there at Green Things, and they're on the web at greenthingsaz.com. They've got some workshops. Usually they're at 10 a.m. Saturday and Sunday. You can check out what's coming up at greenthingsaz.com. Let's welcome now our contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education. He's also the former superintendent of Flowing Wells School District. He's a one-time Arizona School Superintendent of the Year. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Sorry for my voice a little bit. But
well, who doesn't seem to have that? Ed Alexander here is completely wiped out. Ed was not on the air, I guess, this morning, was he? Right now, his voice is gone. My wife's voice is gone. I think it's just something going around, settling in the vocal cords.
It definitely seems to have settled, and I've been living with it for about a week, and certainly in better shape now than I was a few days ago.
What'd you do, just stop talking?
I did, and very few people complained about that, actually.
Oh, really? Hey, this is a subject, Bob, I've wanted to talk about for the last couple of months, but other items had been pushed to the forefront that were in the news. But it's this whole thing of writing code, computer code. Should it be in every classroom in Arizona? That's a question being asked.
Well, the governor says so, and he's not the only governor. In fact, he joins a host of governors and corporate managers throughout the country that say it's really a wave of the future. And in fact, the premise that, you know, everyone is using technology, but rarely do we really understand how technology works. So the idea is, if we teach youngsters coding from the early years all the way through high school, that they'll have a platform to learn how coding operates and how this platform is really essential to understanding how technology is effective. And it's, you know, it's really like learning a new language.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Do you have any idea how widespread the teaching of coding is in our schools?
Well, there are some glimmers of it here in Arizona. I mean, even locally in some school districts, there are schools that maybe they're not teaching it as part of the curriculum, but we're beginning to see code clubs, and there are a number of code applications that seem to be coming onto the market. And so the idea that this could be a life skill that would help people, particularly in the emerging markets, where they say there are over 500,000 computer-related jobs.
Yeah, I would think that you would, if you know this kind of material, you would not have trouble finding a job. If you're interested in computers, I would think computer science would be the way to go.
Well, yes, but I guess the real question is, should everyone
learn about this
as part of their curriculum?
How useful is that going to be to everyone that's in high school to learn about computer coding?
Well, in some states, there are elementary youngsters taking coding courses. They may not even see them as computer-related because it may start with a sequence of colors or sequence of ideas. And the idea is that if you teach coding, you're actually teaching problem-solving skills. You're teaching thinking skills. And that these digital skills that may relate to those particular areas could improve your future and your future understanding and future employment.
Wasn't the governor pushing something called the Phoenix Coding Academy? What was that?
Yeah, there is an academy. It's sponsored by the Phoenix Union High School District, and it's very popular. It's specific to one school, one magnet school in Phoenix. The governor has touted that. He's visited it on a couple occasions, and he said, you know, this is the wave of the future. This is what we should be doing. Unfortunately, as with many ideas, good or otherwise, there's no funding that goes with it. And so Phoenix Union has really struggled to keep this academy alive. They've used a lot of private funding. They've used federal funding to keep it jump-started and to keep it, on the burner. And it's a very popular program, and the governor likes it. I think Phoenix Union would like to see it supported at a state level, but unfortunately, that's not happening. You know, one of the issues, Bill, is that, when we explore ideas such as this, we also have to think about teacher training and how do we prepare our teachers to have this kind of technology. I mean, they're using technology as well, but I would suggest that, many teachers, and I would include myself as an adult, I really do not understand how it all works.
I don't either.
And all
Maybe
we know
Ray
is it works.
Understands.
And
no,
so,
he's giving me...
these digital layers that are trying to be taught through coding, really suggest that it's a very interesting idea, but is it something that everyone should have knowledge of? I'm not really sure.
Did you, in your travels, and I know you were recently in Hong Kong, is this something being taught in schools abroad?
It actually is mandatory in the curriculum in the UK.
Huh.
The UK has a compulsory subject in computer programming. Hmm. They don't call it coding. They call it computer programming. Mm-hmm. And all students are expected to learn coding, understanding simple algorithms to, program language. And so they use this as part of their problem-solving curriculum. And so it is mandatory in the UK. I'm not aware that it certainly is widely implemented in other countries, but I'm not aware that it's mandated at the point that it is in the United Kingdom.
What was your speech about in Hong Kong recently?
Well, we're looking for abstract thinking skills development, and this is an area where the Chinese don't incorporate this particular skill in their curriculum. A lot of it's stand and deliver, a lot of remote rote memorization, and therefore this is an area where they're hoping to expand and explore further.
But isn't it interesting how different areas of the world look at that? And we've talked before. Here you were over in Asia where the rote memorization is really important.
Oh, it's absolutely important.
And then in Scandinavia, we've talked about Finland in particular, where memorization, they don't do it that way. They have a much more general kind of a conversational type teaching.
Correct. And we know that, and we've talked about this before, the easiest to test, and we're in this testing mode,
yes,
is the memorization, the recall. And so abstract thinking is more difficult to test. We don't examine it in our U.S. curriculum quite the way that some other countries do, particularly the Scandinavian countries. And certainly in Asia, it's not examined at all. And so it's really a missing component for students, particularly if they want to go to the university in the States or UK or Australia. They're going to be faced with a challenge of exploratory thinking, expository writing, and argumentative kinds of experiences, also working in groups. And these are areas that we've been working, that I've been working with Asian students with the high school level, because these are really a void.
Yeah, that must be very frightening.
It is. It's a void. It's a real challenge for them.
Bob Hendricks, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw. The program is now 2 hours. It's expanded from 1 hour to two. Ray Allen helps out on that program, so together they put together a really fine 2 hours. That's from 4 to 6. Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9. Buckmaster, noon to 1. Put it all together. We're doing 6 hours now daily here of local talk on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. We wish you a great afternoon and evening.